We welcome you to Grace Bible Church this morning. We're glad that you are here, especially having been off of Sunday due to the storm last week. We thank the Lord for His protection and provision. In our calls to worship, we're going to begin a walkthrough of the book of Ruth. I tell you, we went through Esther recently, and I've been reading through Ruth again, and I tell you, it's a wonderful book, especially, I think, for young people to see how God can work in your life and take you from what seems like a very bitter and difficult situation, losing your spouse, and how God can bring someone back into your life and allow you to be used of God, be delivered from your sin, but be delivered unto God. And that's the story of Ruth. She was a pagan. She had married a Jewish man. He died, and she had nothing left. And she goes with her mother-in-law. She learns of her God and desires to know more, and then she becomes a believer. And God begins to work in her life, and she becomes a part of the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you talk about a fantastic, wonderful story, but I want to tell you, the Bible's full of those kind of stories. Amen? And God is working even this hour in hearts and lives to bring about circumstances, to direct His will here upon the earth. And so I think there's much that we can learn. I want to go right to verse 6 this morning. And I want to read this. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law. Now, this is after she's lost her husband. Naomi has lost her husband. And Ruth and Orpah have lost their husbands. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. Now, where had He visited His people? Back in the land of promise. It wasn't like that God had visited His people in Moab. God visited His people in Israel and had given them. That word visited appears over and over again, both in the Old and New Testaments. And it's used both in a good context and a bad context. Here, it's used in a good context. But it's a reminder to Naomi. This bitterness that's in her life, the losing of her husband and her two sons, are related to the fact that they left the place of the covenant, the place of promise, and they left to pursue, to have food and all those things, and God had dealt harshly with them. And when the word came back that God had visited Israel back there, where does she want to go now? She wants to go back where they were before in order to have the blessing of God in her life. God visited Israel. His presence and His power was being performed there. Now, this is such an important lesson. So many times we think that somehow we're missing out. Remember how this all started in the book of Ruth? It all started when there was a famine in the land, and they heard that there was food where? In Moab. There was no dependence upon God. There was no seeking God's face. Lord, would You meet our needs here? It was, we're going to Moab. They've got food down there. Now, we all look at that and say, that's just natural. That's what the natural person does. But that was not what God's people were to do. During this whole time they're down in Moab, the people in Israel have food. God's taking care of them. God had visited them while they were down in Moab, and they missed out on that visitation. And when they heard about it, she says, you know what? We're going to go back. Listen, where God can bless you is in the center of His will. If you go outside that, the only way you're going to get blessed is not for Him to move over where you are, but for what? You to get back over here where He is. And this is forgotten in the church today. It's so sad. It's forgotten. Oh, God, You've got to come over here and help us over here. Well, You left God over here. Why don't you get back to Him? This is the whole purpose of the book of Ruth. It's a return back to where God can work. And every chapter, there's more and more of God working. More and more of God working in Naomi's life. More and more of God working in Ruth's life. Did Orpah get to have that blessing? No. What was her choice? To stay in Moab with her gods, with her people, doing her thing. And she missed out on the glories. But Ruth desired to go back with Naomi, where God was working. And she got the blessing. And oh, what a blessing it is. When we think of Ruth, we think of the line of Jesus Christ. She got to have a role and be a part of that because she desired to go where God was working. We need to have that same thought in mind as we come. We've come together today because we desire for God to work in our hearts and lives. And we pray that God's Spirit will use the Word of God in our hearts and lives today.
Let's take our hymn books this morning and begin with number 380. Please, in your hymn books, number 380. How Firm a Foundation, number 380. We'll stand together to sing. Standing for prayer this morning.
Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house today. And we are so thankful for the promise that we've just sung about, that You will never leave us nor forsake us. But we have to be in Your Son, Jesus Christ, in order for that promise to be realized in our hearts and lives. And so we pray today that the Lord Jesus Christ would be preeminent. And perhaps if there be some without the Lord Jesus Christ, that today would be the day that they trust in Him, that they call upon the name of the Lord and are wonderfully saved, transformed by the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for that truth. We thank You for that gospel. And we pray, dear Father, that You would help us all as we enjoy the privileges of being a Christian, that we would be quick to share that message with those who are not Christians. Lord, help us not to withhold that message. Help us to be quick to share that with others, that we might see others come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior as well. Father, we thank You for this time together around Your Word, singing these precious hymns of praise and adoration to Thee. We ask, dear Father, that You would work in our hearts. Lord, take away the bitterness. Take away, Father, the griping spirit. Take away, Father, that whiny attitude that we perhaps have. As we look at our world and we see the decline. Lord, help us not to whine and become bitter in our place, but Lord, help us to know the joy of the Lord. Help us, Father, to have a smile on our faces because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. There's nothing that would cause us to be down and whiny and complaining and griping because, Father, we have everything in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that You would work in our hearts today. Deliver us from worldly attitudes. Deliver us from the philosophies that so permeate everyday life here in America. And help us, Father, to walk with Thee. We ask, dear Father, that You would bless this service today. We pray for folks that are not here today because of sickness and illness. We pray for them that You would encourage them and strengthen them. We also pray, dear Father, for those dear folks that are believers in Christ there in Puerto Rico. We think of the folks there at Puerto Rico Baptist College and then also at the Calvary Baptist Christian School and Church and College there. Lord, we know that they have suffered great destruction. And we would ask, dear Father, that You would allow support to come in, that You would raise up the dollars that are needed for them to be able to restore their buildings and be able to get the classes back going again. Lord, we pray that power would be restored soon to these areas throughout Puerto Rico that still do not have power. And we pray especially, Lord, that You would work in that country, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would be proclaimed and that people would turn to Thee. Lord, that was just one storm, but hell is forever. And I pray that You'd draw precious souls unto Yourself. Father, we ask, dear Lord, that You would undertake for all of our missionary families today. There are many that are ministering even in this very hour, proclaiming Your Word, and we pray that You'd encourage them and strengthen them. We ask, Father, that You would provide for their every need, and Lord, that You would strengthen them spiritually. Work in their families as young children are being taught and trained in those homes. We pray that they might come to know Jesus Christ, and that they might be faithful followers and servants of Thee. Lord, we pray for our country today. Lord, our hearts are grieved by the direction that our nation is going, but we pray, Father, that You'd be long-suffering and merciful and that You would raise up preachers all across this land and individuals who'd be willing to give of their time and give of their talent and treasure to carry forth the Word of God and that we might see an awakening and a turning to Thee. Lord, be merciful to us, dear Father. We beg Thee for it. We ask Thou Your blessing upon this service today. We pray that You would receive our praise, for You alone are worthy to receive all glory and honor and wisdom. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated, and we'll continue singing now to number 397. Number 397, Simply Trusting Every Day, Trusting Jesus, number 397.
Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting God.
Thank you, Nicole. Let's turn now to number 422. Number 422, before the message, let's sing just the first and last verses, "When I Can Read My Title Clear," number 422, verses 1 and 3.
Thank you.
This morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 21, so I encourage you please to turn there. I have a PowerPoint with this today because I want you to see, visualize in your own heart and mind what our Lord is dealing with here, what He's talking about, and hopefully we can share with you some thoughts from this passage that will encourage you to bear fruit. The whole account that's given here is not a parable. This is not a parable of the fig tree. We're going to see that in two other places. When we get to Matthew chapter 24, we're going to have a fig tree mentioned again. Luke also records another incident involving a fig tree. The fig tree in the New Testament Gospels is representative of the nation of Israel. I want to read, beginning at verse 18 of Matthew chapter 21, we're going to read through verse 22 of this passage as we consider what happened that day. This was on a Monday. As the Lord goes into Jerusalem, as He traverses along the way, and I've got a picture up here of a fig tree growing along the way. This was not a farmed fig tree. This was one that just grew along the way. And it was one that travelers, as they went along, would be able to pick a fruit and find, enjoyment as they were walking along. But it was not something that was harvested by a farmer. It was just an upstart. And as we're going to learn, there are special rules about fig trees in Israel. Let's read. Now in the morning, as He returned into the city, He hungered. This is our Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ got hungry. And when He saw a fig tree in the way, He came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, If ye have faith, now notice this please, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, it shall be done. And all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that You'd work in our hearts and lives today. Lord, there is so much packed into this passage of Scripture that we pray that we might be able to unfold and take out what we need for our hearts and lives today. Lord, I pray that You would teach us from Your Word. May we not fall asleep or allow our minds to go to our afternoon schedule or what we're going to have to eat, but Father, rather, may we give this time to Thee. And may You teach us from Your Word, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, as I said, the fig tree throughout the Gospels represents the nation of Israel. In the Holy Land, fig trees were considered so valuable that a person who cut down a fig tree, even if it yielded minimal fruit, was thought to be deserving of death at the hand of God. Now, this is something that we don't consider today, cutting down of fruit trees or things of that nature. But in Israel, the fig tree was special. And even if it just brought about minimal amount of fruit, you didn't cut it down. Normally, a fig tree was prolific in the land of Israel. It was a fruit producer. How many of you have a brown turkey leaf fig tree in your yard here in Florida? Anybody? I know Aunt Carolyn does. I cared for that fig tree from time to time. Dr. Hobbs would have me help him trim it. Fig trees really in America are fig bushes. They don't grow like a tree like they do in the Middle East. In Egypt, surrounding Middle Eastern country, the fig tree grows into this solid, stalky tree, and it produces fruit. I want you to see a picture. This is a fig tree in Israel. This is a fig tree that holds the fruit from the previous season. Now, Middle Eastern fig trees are not like our fig trees here. Our fig trees are our brown turkey figs that we have here in Florida. They produce and they die. They fall off. But not so of fig trees in the Middle East. When they produce their fruit, their stems stay connected to the tree, and it's very rare for them to fall off. Right? Now, we have a lot of moisture in Florida. We have a lot of rain. That moisture and that rain cause the stems on trees to rot and the fruit fall off. Not so in the Middle East. Very rare for them to get rain. They have it in certain seasons of the year, and that's it. Matter of fact, the average rainfall in Israel is somewhere around 11 inches a year. Ours in this area, this region, 66 inches of rain. By the way, we have over 80 inches so far this year. So we lead the nation as far as rainfall. But in the Middle East, average rainfall in Israel is somewhere around 11 inches of rain, and sometimes they don't even get that. So their fruit remains. Have you heard that expression before? All right. You find that in the gospel. That your fruit may remain. It's not that Israel had never borne fruit. What had happened to their fruit? It didn't remain. The fig tree here that's pictured has the fruit on it from the previous season. You'll see the different colors. The older fruit, a little bit darker, a little bit larger, but still there. And one thing that's unique about the fig tree is the fruit always comes before the leaves. Right? Figs in the Middle East, you always see the fruit first, and then the leaves will come after. It puts all of its energy into what? Fruit making. After that mission is accomplished, and by the way, the Middle Eastern fig trees bear fruit three times a year. Three seasons of fruit bearing. I don't know how many times I've heard preachers from time to time, you know, that fruit tree, the Lord Jesus was expecting fruit, but those fig trees weren't supposed to have fruit on it. But that's not true. Often, if the figs are not harvested, that fruit will remain into the next season, and more fruit will come. So Jesus' expectation of fruit on that fig tree was not out of the ordinary, even though it was during the month of April. All right? It's before the actual next season, which will come in June. That's when the fruit would really start coming on the tree again. This is fruit from the winter. And Jesus went up to that tree. He sees leaves. And that tells him what, as an Israelite, having grown up in Israel, the fig tree is going to have figs. But when he comes to this wayside tree, he's walking along the pathway, sees this fig tree, and he sees the leaves, he's disappointed. Because when he begins to go under the tree and he begins to look up where the fruit grows, it grows up under the tree. He sees nothing. He sees nothing there. No fruit. No remaining fruit. Not even up in the upper branches where people were leery to climb. Because another thing about the fig tree, you climb up into a fig tree, the branches are brittle. They break. So they would never climb into a fig tree. They would get a long stick or a pole and they'd try to knock the fruit up. But normally there would be fruit up there, but there's nothing on this tree. And what does the Lord do? He immediately says to the tree, self-destruct. Self-destruct. And the disciples are shocked by what they see. They witness the self-destruction of a fig tree where the beautiful green leaves begin to turn brown and fall to the ground. And all that's left is the dried stalk of what used to be a fig tree. Now get this. It is not that the tree never bore fruit. It was the fact that presently, now listen to me now, presently the tree was not producing fruit. Don't you grow weary of people talking about the past? Oh yeah, I did this in the past. I won so many souls to the Lord. I hear this all the time. People talking about that. What are you doing now? What's your attitude like now? Don't talk about the past. Oh, Israel could talk about the past. By the way, this is instructive as we move into chapter 24, because we're already seeing the rejection of Jesus Christ as the Messiah, and we're going to see the rejection of the not only the religious leaders, but of the people themselves of Jesus Christ. Who are the ones crying, "Crucify Him"? Is it just the religious leaders? No. It's the people. Were they presently bearing fruit as a nation? No. You see, folks, it doesn't count that you bore fruit in the past. That's nice. It's nice that a fruit tree bore fruit in the past. But Jesus was hungry now. And what did He find? Nothing. No fruit. Nothing. It was gone. Now, God expects for you, believer, to bear fruit all the time. Isn't it interesting that when we get to heaven, there's going to be a tree there? And what's unique about that tree? It bears fruit every month and it has a different fruit on it. Now, we would love to have a tree like that, wouldn't you? I'd love to have a tree. I've had a small fruit tree in our backyard that's produced exactly one plum in all the years we've lived there. I was shocked. One tiny little pinkish plum came up on it. I was so proud of it. It's the only one it's ever produced. It's got leaves. I've trimmed it back. I've put fertilizer spikes around it. I've done everything I know to do, and I've gotten one plum. Now, what do I need to do? Cut it down. You say, well, it produced one in the past. Is that good enough for God? Was that good enough for Jesus on that road? Remember, the fig tree represents Israel. What's going to happen in 70 AD? And we're going to learn about that as we progress in the book of Matthew. We're going to find instantaneous and shocking destruction of Israel. And the Lord says, from this point, you will be under the Gentiles until the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're going to be under the domination of others. This morning, the president of Israel was on the news talking about President Trump decertifying the Iran deal. And Netanyahu was saying, we don't care what happens as long as Iran does not get nuclear weapons. And all I could think about, here was the president of one of the smallest nations in the world, Israel, talking about his concern about their nation being wiped off the face of the earth. Why? Because in the United Nations, every week, somebody files a protest against what one little nation? More protests have been filed against the little nation of Israel than any Muslim country. Muslim countries where women have no rights. Saudi Arabia, just bless the women. Guess what the women get to do now? They get to drive for the first time in the history of Saudi Arabia. They get to drive, and everybody in the UN was praising, oh, it's so wonderful. Meanwhile, people are being beheaded every day in Saudi Arabia. Women. All it takes is a husband to come forward. And of their number of women, to make an accusation. And if the judge rules she's guilty and worthy of death, she's taken out and beheaded or hung. You see, a woman in Saudi Arabia has no rights, or very little rights. You would think that the world would be rising up to protest in the United Nations, all of these things. Oh, no, no, no. The nation of Israel. That tiny little nation. under the thumb of the Gentile world powers. Why? Why? She didn't bear fruit. Her fruit didn't what? Remain. Let that phrase sink into your mind. We want fruit that remains. And God uses the picture of the fig tree to illustrate this. Oh, this is so important. I want to move ahead. There are three events, major events in the Bible concerning the nation of Israel. The first major event that took place as a nation was its judgment that took place when the northern kingdom was first taken off into captivity by Assyria, and then the southern kingdom was taken into captivity to Babylon and to Egypt. Why? Because the nation of Israel began to worship other gods, the sin of idolatry. They rejected God the Father. Now, who is the husband of Israel? It's the Father. The Father is the husband of Israel, and what had Israel done? She had played the harlot. That phrase is used over and over again in the Old Testament. The sin of spiritual adultery. She followed after other gods, and she rejected her husband. That's why the book of Hosea was written. It's a picture of God the Father with His wife. That whole picture there. And the captivity that came. The explanation was, you have followed other gods, you have loved other gods, and you haven't loved me. So God sent judgment. And what was that judgment? Captivity in Assyria, Babylon, and Egypt. By the way, Israel has never quite gotten over that captivity. Never quite gotten over that captivity. Even though it's a productive nation now, it's still a tiny nation. It's never known more than 10% of what God promised her in that covenant, that Abrahamic covenant. 10%. Just a tiny little strip. You can take Israel and lay it down between Pensacola and Tallahassee. The whole nation. Along the strip of Florida, that's how big it is. Just a tiny nation. Not very big. And yet the whole world hates it. Hates that nation. That's the first major judgment that comes to Israel. Secondly, we have the cross. Israel rejected her Messiah. Crucify Him! Crucify Him! Those were not Roman Gentiles crying that. Who was it? Israelite people. They rejected Jesus as the Messiah. What was the judgment that came upon Israel? That wiped out the temple, wiped out the nation. By the way, they're still excavating in Jerusalem right now. They're excavating this particular time period, the time of the Roman rule. And it said it's amazing, the burnt soil and the burned stones from that period of time where judgment fell upon Jerusalem and Rome destroyed the temple. Why? Israel rejected its Messiah. There's another coming judgment. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. I call it the crucible of the tribulation period. That's when the nation of Israel is betrayed by whom? Their Messiah. Who do they claim is their Messiah? Antichrist. Antichrist is Israel's Messiah. What does she do? She accepts the spirit of Antichrist. All right? The moment you are saved, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who comes to dwell in your heart and life at that moment? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ comes to live in you. All right? The Holy Spirit of God. The rejection of the Holy Spirit, and this is my interpretation. I think this is important to get a hold of. Yes, Israel rejected the work of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, but they finally do it in the tribulation period when they do what? At the beginning of the tribulation period, what does the nation of Israel do? It accepts the spirit of Antichrist and says, "This one is our Messiah." And what happens in the middle 3.5 years into the tribulation period, God pours out. Oh, we go down through the seals, the trumpets, the vials of wrath. God is pouring out His judgment because Israel has rejected all three persons of the Trinity. Israel accepts the spirit of Antichrist and says that the Antichrist is Jesus, the Messiah, Christ, the one who was promised. They accept a lie, and judgment comes. So, these are the three major events in Israel's history. Jesus, in His day, looks at the nation of Israel and says, "Your fruit does not remain." He speaks to the fig tree and says, "Self-destruct." Okay? "No longer will you bring forth fruit." And the disciples watch as the green leaves turn brown and wither. There's no fruit on the tree to die and fall off, is there? Because Jesus found none. All that's left is the dried stalk of a plant that used to bear fruit. Israel will one day bring forth fruit, and its fruit will remain. But there's a picture for you this morning and for me, and I don't want us to miss this. There's a very important picture. 1 John 4:3. "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is" what? "Not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." What's working in our age and time right now, folks? The spirit of Antichrist. And sadly, the spirit of Antichrist is growing in the churches of America. There are false doctrines. "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." We have Anglican priests today that say Jesus Christ wasn't God. What can you write over the door of the Anglican church? Anathema. Cursed. No fruit. No fruit. "And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is at work." If it was already at work when John penned those words by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, are you listening? The Holy Spirit of God gave us this word. What must it be like today? The cursed fig tree. Jesus ordered the tree to self-destruct and it withered immediately. The judgment was instantaneous and shocking to the disciples. What did they say? Look in your Bible here at the response of the disciples. "And when the disciples saw it," verse 20, "they marveled." Oh, we've seen that word many, many times. Marveled. Literally, they were shocked beyond measure at what they saw happen. Perhaps they had walked by this tree many, many times in the past. Whenever they came up to Jerusalem, you always go up to Jerusalem because it was up on a mountain. When they would go up, maybe they passed by this fig tree. Fig trees are known to live for hundreds and hundreds of years. And that fig tree that was a mark, it'd almost be like this oak tree out here. It's been a part almost to the center of our campus here, right up here in the front, this oak tree that I've grown up with. Been alive for 53 years. I played on that playground as a child. And we played around that oak tree, and it's still out there. I often say, "Lord, would you let that oak tree just keep living on? It'd be such a sad thing to see that thing die." But can you imagine if we came to church and every leaf on that tree was brown and falling off and all the acorns were dead and all that was left was just a dry stalk? We would all be... The disciples felt that way. They were shocked by what they saw. "How soon is the fig tree withered away?" What does that say about judgment? It comes quickly and it comes shockingly. Quickly and shockingly to the nation whose fruit did not what? Remain. whose fruit do not... Remember the fig tree. The fig tree holds its fruit. If it's not picked, it holds its fruit and it's still good and wholesome to eat, even though it's months after it first ripened. It stays connected to the tree and it holds that fruit until someone comes and plucks it. And the new fruit begins to come on. Its fruit remains. Now, how about you? Are you a Christian this morning? Know the Lord Jesus Christ? What does the Bible say about you? Your fruit should remain. It should be in your life that we see the fruit of God. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Go down the list. There's 9 there in that passage of Scripture. That should be the continuous fruit in your heart and life. Not just once every 5 years. Something's wrong with the tree. Remember, even a fig tree that bore minimal fruit in Israel, they preserved that tree. It was when a tree completely died that they would cut it down. And Jesus spoke that fig tree out of existence. And by the way, Israel has been set aside and it will face in the tribulation its greatest judgment. Its greatest judgment. Why? Because the nation of Israel accepts the spirit of Antichrist and says, this is our Messiah. And 3.5 years into that their Messiah is going to turn against them, and the time of Jacob's trouble will come, and the outpouring of the seals will be on the whole earth, but it specifically will be on the nation of Israel because she has rejected the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there are consequences for that. Just like there are consequences for rejecting the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit here upon this earth. When the gospel has been preached to your soul and you walk out the door and there's no transformation, there's no change, there's no desire for that to take place. And Christian, God wants your fruit to remain. How about it this morning? Israel should have remained faithful to God. Should have accepted her Messiah, but she did not. She said of Jesus, He is not our Messiah. He is not the one that was promised. And they crucified Him. God's loving kindness has limits. Do you see this fig? What do you notice about it? No fruit, no leaves. All that's left, there's a child playing beside a dead fig tree in Israel. This was taken by a visitor that had gone to Israel, and the guide had said, this fig tree is dead. And reminded them of the story that came from Matthew chapter 21. Folks, the Word of God is forever true. I want to read the words of Christ and the challenge that He gave to them. They were shocked at the judgment. But what does the Lord do? He turns it and He focuses their mind on a truth. Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Why? Because you're a believer and you're exercising faith. Faith. That's fruit. Amen? That's fruit. That means you're alive and well. If you don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't trust Him for your daily bread. You live as if God is not needed. You have no fruit. Your fruit doesn't remain. And you're worthy of being cut down and thrown into the fire. That's what He's going to do. That's what He's going to do in the future. And it will be instantaneous, it will be quick, and it will be shocking. No man knoweth the day or the hour when the trump shall sound. You don't know when the Lord's coming back to receive His children back to Him. Do you live like the rapture could happen right this moment? Do you live like that Jesus could come back at any second? Or is it something that just crosses your mind when the preacher preaches a message on it? Better check your fruit. Better check your fruit. Is it all leaves? Or does your fruit remain? Would you bow your heads? Father in heaven, we thank you for the word. Lord, this is such an important truth. You shocked your disciples that day on the road into Jerusalem by pronouncing judgment on a fig tree that you expected would have fruit and it did not. And that judgment was quick. That tree dried up, shocking the disciples. The nation of Israel had a faith problem. They weren't believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were looking for another spirit, another Messiah that would come, a political one. Oh, one of these days, the nation of Israel will accept the Antichrist as their promised Messiah. They will honor and glorify Him as their Messiah. But they will be sadly deceived, and judgment will pour in measures that this world has never known before, because they accepted the spirit of Antichrist instead of the Holy Spirit of God. Father, I pray that you might work in our hearts and lives. Maybe there's someone here today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe they are following after the world. There's no fruit in their lives at all. There's no joy. There's no love for the things of God, just endurance. Toleration of biblical things. Lord, that's not enough to go to heaven. We need to be transformed by the grace of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, work in hearts today. And Lord, help Christians to understand that fruit bearing is not something that happens once every 5 years. It's something that happens all the time. When we look under the leaves of our life, there should be fruit there. Fruit that remains. Lord, I pray that you would challenge Christians today, Lord. May we examine our hearts and lives to see whether we have fruit that remains. Not false fruit, not plastic fruit that looks good, but there's nothing to it, but genuine, real fruit that the Holy Spirit of God produces in hearts and lives. Lord, I pray today that we might know the work of Thy Holy Spirit in our lives, that you would bring about conviction of sin, conviction of selfishness, conviction of whining and complaining and walking around with a sad and drawn-out face because things didn't go our way. Lord, that's not fruit that remains. That's the flesh. It indicates a serious problem, and I pray that you'd work in our hearts and lives, that we might bring forth fruit that remains. And we'll give you the glory and praise for the work that you do in our hearts and lives today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's close with number 464 in your hymn books. Number 464, nothing between my soul and the Savior. If there's nothing between our soul and the Lord and His work, then fruit can grow in our lives and we can do what the Lord would have us to do. Let's meditatively sing verse number 1 as we stand. Number 464.
Nothing
Father, thank you for the word that we've heard this morning and for, Lord, the illustration of the fig tree that was given for the nation of Israel, but Lord, what import it has for us today as well. And I ask, Father, that as your people and as believers, that we would continue to grow in the grace of Christ, that we would be in your word, and that we would have fruit in our lives, Lord, growing from the fruit of the Spirit, but also, Lord, fruit from those that we come into contact with, that we can lead to the Savior, those that we can minister to on a daily basis. Lord, help this fruit to continue to abound in our lives as we yield to Thee. Pray, Father, for this day. Thank You for it. We pray that You return us again tonight, once again to worship, to be with Your people, and to hear from Your Word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.